Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show here on 97.1 FM Talk. Glad you are with us this morning. We got fire and we got ice. There's fire in California. New fires have broken out. And the people in the southeastern portion, the south and southeastern portion of the U.S., that system went well below us and just blanketed them with snow in many cases for the first time in years. I mean, I hope somebody asked Al Gore about that, who claimed that, the earth was warming. remember global warming? Maybe that was it. I don't know. The people in Houston and Pensacola, Florida, would argue with him over that issue this morning. He's out and about, though. I'm going to get you some sound from him coming up here before the end of the show. Al Gore is at the World Economic Forum. He and John F. Kerry talking about their whole global warming disaster and the fact that Donald Trump is pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accord. It's just the worst thing any of them could ever possibly imagine. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of sad that Al is that's all he's got to fall back on these days. But he is. And Donald Trump is going to speak at the World Economic Forum via video, apparently, at some point today. I can't wait to hear the highlights of that speech. Because he wants the world to invest in the United States, but he's also threatening with tariffs, and of course he's pulled out of that climate accord. Should be interesting stuff. We got Evan Brown coming up in a few minutes. He's reporting on some of the problems they're having. They've declared some emergencies in some of those southern states hit by the weather. We'll get you an update on that. SLU had a big win. We're going to talk to Tom Ackerman about that, and of course, some comments by Cardinals ownership this week about how we can't buy our way out of this problem. I thought that was an interesting approach to baseball, and one that my former favorite team growing up, the Bengals, failed at for many, many, many years with that same approach. Just a personal observation there. I don't know. We'll talk to Tom about that at the bottom of the hour. Matthew Rocchio is in this morning for Kim, who's out for a couple days. Of course, Carl Middleman in here. We'll get to Sue Thomas with your traffic coming up shortly. But first, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Yeah, Carl, for some reason, it's not playing. I'm not sure. Go ahead and go to something else, please.
The funny thing, maybe the sad thing, is he didn't give himself a pardon. And if you look at it, it all had to do with him.
The president speaking with Sean Hannity last night, talking about the fact that, well, there were a lot of pardons handed out by Joe Biden, except for himself. Many people think it's some sort of a veiled threat.
We need to treat everyone with dignity, and we need to be merciful. I was trying to counter the narrative that is so divisive and polarizing.
Yeah, that is Marion Buddy, the bishop up in D.C. She said she's not apologizing for anything.
Do you believe that moment? People say to me, they see a change in you. Do you believe you've changed? Is this, for example, increased your faith in God?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, President Trump talking about the attempts on his life and how it changed his vision and his belief that he was left on this earth after a close call for a reason.
This is a way to pull people away from the violence, to give young people an alternative, to find jobs that will be produced, and hugely important in the context of where we are today.
There he is, John Kerry. I'm sure you've missed that voice. He is at the World Economic Forum along with Al Gore. And I've listened to some of this nonsense. Al Gore, and I'm sure my farmer friends out there who are listening, and I know they do because I've run into them out in Herman and other places. My farmer friends who were up early this morning doing chores. Al Gore no longer wants you to plow your fields. Because when you deeply plow your field as a farmer, apparently you release more carbon into the air. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you need to stop doing that. You need to think about maybe just throwing the seeds out there on top of the ground and hoping that they grow. Some of it is so bat crap crazy when I listen to it that I'm just not sure what to make of it. To be honest with you, I listened to Al. Al's at the World Economic Forum, and Al is talking about how the top jobs in America right now are solar panel installers. Now, I'm sure there are people out there installing solar panels. And, you know, if you want to put that on your roof and you can get some sort of tax deduction for it, I guess, and it helps you with your energy bill. More power to you. And maybe more people will do that. Now, when it's covered with snow and ice, I'm not sure how well it works. What's going on in Texas might be a good test of that, where everything's covered in snow right now. But Al Gore wants you to know that the biggest problem we have in the world, and you now have a president who's talking about drill, baby, drill, is the fact that we are subsidizing these evil fossil fuel companies. Listen to him.
Business lobby in the history of the world. And unfortunately, they're way better at capturing politicians than capturing emissions and capturing policies. And we now subsidize fossil fuels and the ongoing destruction of humanity's future at an absurd rate.
Interesting to note that you are, as you fill your car up or watch Landman, you are fueling the ongoing destruction of humanity's future. I watch it. I listen to it. I continue to be baffled by it. There'll be people looking at what's happening in Florida and claiming that it's climate change. Guess what? It snowed that much or more in the 1800s in Florida. This is not, we're not breaking new ground here. Just because it hasn't happened in the recent memory does not mean that it's something new or that it's a trend. It's just, there's no evidence of that. So when I hear the people on CBS this morning today talking about the fact that it's obviously climate change, that people in Houston, Texas are building snowmen in their front yard, according to Sue Thomas this morning. I would argue that, enjoy it while it lasts, and it won't last long. And there's no evidence that this is a trend since it also happened 100 years ago. We'll get on with that. Coming up, we're going to get to Evan Brown. He will talk a little bit more about what's going on in Florida, in North Carolina, in Alabama, in Texas this morning. I don't know if you've got vacation plans, but that would not be a part of the country you'd want to go to right now if you could avoid it, I would think. Plus, we'll get to Tom Ackerman at about 6:35. We'll get an update on SLU and Mizzou basketball heading into the weekend. We'll be right back.
Well, I certainly hope we do open as many prisons as possible to round up as many illegal aliens that have invaded our country and those that are breaking our laws, killing our citizens, women and children.
Yeah, that was Marjorie Taylor Greene on the House of the House floor yesterday. And one reason that the bite caught my attention is not so much for the content of what she said, although some people are not happy that she talked about building more prisons to house them, is that Congressman Bob Onder was sitting behind her. I don't know if he had just gotten done speaking or he was getting ready to speak on the floor, but he was sitting right behind Marjorie Taylor Greene while she was making those comments. Always fun to see somebody you know sitting there, and I'm sure Bob's having a ball up there in Congress right now. All right, so I told you earlier, as in the 5 o'clock hour, a listener to the show, Brad, sent me a picture from his son's front yard in Pensacola, Florida. And the he had a ruler sticking down in the snow, and it said 8 3/4 inches of snow. Now, I don't know if it was drifting or what, but in Pensacola, Florida, that's amazing. Let's get to Evan Brown. He's covering what's going on down south this morning. Evan, dangerous conditions, I'm guessing, for people who don't see a whole lot of that, right?
Very much so. You know, perhaps the most dangerous thing is the driving, because so many people don't know how to drive in snow or ice, or understand what ice looks like on pavement, especially when it's dark out. So, yeah, this is a very risky situation for us. We're not really accustomed to this stuff down south, at least not to this degree. You know, sometimes along the northern Gulf Coast, it can get real cold. There can be some snow, but nothing to the like of 8 inches in Pensacola. Interstate 10, which runs along the Gulf Coast, is actually closed from just past Tallahassee all the way to the Alabama line. That's about 250 miles or so.
Wow.
Of I-10. And that's a major route for trucking, for all sorts of commerce and everything. So, it's a big deal for the southern U.S. It also is concerning because the cold goes further down the Florida Peninsula, down the Gulf Coast side and everything. And so many homes in Florida and along the Gulf Coast don't necessarily have heat in the way you guys have.
Yeah.
So air conditioning systems, central air, can run in reverse essentially as a heat pump and generate heat. But the things like, you know, with a water boiler that's oil fueled or something and had, you know, baseboard radiators, that kind of stuff, a lot of people just don't have that.
Right. Wow. Now, you're based out of Miami, correct? What's the temp down there?
For us, it is a chilly 58.
Okay. All right. Could be worse.
For us, it's pretty cold.
Yeah.
So down this far south, we're not getting the subarctic stuff, but it's been cold. It's been rainy. We've been getting wind. We haven't had the, you know, what you're seeing sort of like in north central Florida and all the way across the panhandle, but even as far west as Houston, they got snow and ice. And yeah, that's just a very strange concept, for South Texas.
Well, length of stay is going to be important. It's going to be back up in the 30s. I don't think it's getting below freezing here for the next week or so. So it's got to be warming up. This stuff's probably going to be gone in most of those spots in the next day, right?
We am just looking at the forecast here. We should be seeing, you know, highs in the 70s by this weekend.
Good.
which is kind of back to normal territory for us, at least here in South Florida. Things may still be a little cooler further north in the state, but ultimately, you know, we should see a return to normal here in a few days. But this is, you know, it's particularly concerning. You know, one of the things Governor Ron DeSantis had to do was assure people that we had access to snowplows.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, you know, and here's the thing for you. I don't know anyone with an ice scraper for their windshield.
Who would? Who would have one down there?
Where would you get them? That's
Carl,
the thing.
Carl, my producer here, says that he's got friends that live in Miami who don't own coats.
I've got one somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you.
Somewhere.
It's such a foreign concept to us Midwesterners that,
so my,
that you wouldn't
my
have
family,
a closet full.
Yeah, my family's all from New York. That's where I grew up. And I still think my winter coat is in my mother's hall closet, because when I would travel up to visit, you know, in colder months, she would bring it to the airport.
Nice, nice.
And then I would leave it there.
Gladly, as you headed back down south to a balmy 58 degrees. Yeah, I wonder if there are people coming to the Port of Miami to get on cruises and wondering what's happening to them and if they've wasted their money.
Everything is perspective. So when someone from, let's say, St. Louis comes down here at this time of year, and we're having a cold snap of 60, 62 degrees, the St. Louis people are still walking around in shorts and Hawaiian shirts, uh-huh, and flip-flops and you know, sunblock on their nose and big, big awful sunglasses. And we're looking at you like, aren't you cold? And they're going, what? This is great. This is tropical. It's January and it's 60 degrees. Well, what's that? You know? So, you know, again, it's perspective.
We might break those out on Saturday here, because it's going to be 47. So I may look at the shorts and the flowered shirt for Saturday, for sure. Evan, yeah, Thank you for your time this morning.
You bet.
All right, take care of yourself. Be safe down there in those frigid temperatures of 58 degrees in southern Florida. Yeah, he is not where the snow is. He's down south, obviously. But up north there in Pensacola, we went to, we vacationed down there this year, and it's beautiful, those big wide beaches. But to see that picture of snow on the beach is just, your brain doesn't register it. It just looks strange. and probably a hell of a lot of fun for all the kids who you know are out of school, who get to, for the first time in their lives, either see snow or build a snowman.
Or do anything in the snow.
Yeah, thank you.
Snow angels. That's, you know what? Someone told me that there's a new, I'm not on TikTok, of course, there's a new TikTok challenge about doing snow angels. And that's because all these places that never get snow got snow.
Oh, yeah. Well, good for them. So they're all shocked.
So the Chinese are learning about snow angels.
Yeah, that's true. For a little while, for 70 more days anyway, till the TikTok thing runs out and Elon Musk owns it at that point. Could happen. By the way, Tom Ackerman coming in here in a couple minutes. We'll talk to him maybe a little bit more about Bill DeWitt's comments on, I think he made them this weekend, obviously, and I think he talked about what do you do? Do you spend more money? He doesn't think that's the solution to the Cardinals' problems. I don't know how Cards fans feel about that. I got some questions. We'll talk to Tom Ackerman in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Well, Tom, first time I've seen you since the National College Championship game. What'd you think?
Oh, is that so?
I think so.
I love coffee, by the way. This microphone doesn't agree with you. Look
it
at this
does
thing.
Not.
I
no, hold sorry
it
about that.
We need to fix this. No, you're fine. Carl, I got this. I can handle it.
All right.
I appreciate you so much, but I don't want you to go out of your way. Ohio State is the best team in the country. When they play their best, they're the best team.
And now all the complaints are, well, they paid for it.
The best
they
roster.
Paid $20 million in NIL money.
Well, then do better. Then raise more money for your program.
See, that's why NIL sucks, though, honestly.
I don't know. God. I mean, my school, Indiana, was not a good program for years. They got some NIL money. They were able to pay players out of the portal, and they got good really fast. Let me tell you something else, buddy. The Big Ten is now the best college football conference in America. Michigan won last year. Ohio State won this year. The Big Ten is the new SEC. Get used to it. The Big Ten's got NIL money now. The SEC is no longer the power when it comes to recruiting.
How's that working out for him in basketball?
Just football brings in more money, Mark.
I'm just kidding. I just want to see the look on his face.
Let me go. I'll address that in a minute. Okay. Don't change the subject on me.
Matthew's pointing at you, agreeing with you.
The Big Ten is the best conference in college football.
I agree.
Period. And it is going to get better. No, and next year. It is going to get better and better and better. The money has come in. They're no longer, it's an even playing field now. This is about NIL.
Yeah.
NIL has evened the playing field in college football. You have Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. You're going to have Nebraska, which has a ton of resources. They're going to start getting into the action. Indiana already has. Iowa, Wisconsin, they're always going to be good. And some other teams are going to continue. A couple of West Coast teams, once they start to get into the NIL space, USC, UCLA, Oregon's already great. Washington was in the national championship game a year ago. The Big Ten is here to stay. And the SEC, Ohio State just showed it off. They smashed Tennessee. They beat Texas. Notre Dame beat Georgia. You know, the SEC's got some work to do to get back into where the Big Ten is. Period, end of story. Now, the SEC Basketball Conference is the best. They are the best in the country. Now, when it's all said and done and the dust is settled, how will they look in the Final Four, and can they hold this thing and win a national championship? But right now, from top to bottom, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the SEC is easily the best conference. That doesn't always win in the end, but they are the best. The ACC is one of the worst, which is why Duke is going to be the number one overall seed in the tournament. They are going to run away with the ACC. They're hardly going to lose a game. But, you know, they'll be challenged by one of many SEC teams will go after them. Big Ten's got a few. Big Ten's definitely down when it comes to basketball. The Big 12 is interesting with Iowa State's been highly ranked. This should be fun. By the way, we got ourselves a team here in St. Louis. Both Matthew and I were at the game last night. Billikens are really good. They have one of the best team players in the country in Robbie Avila. And a night where nobody could make a basket, Avila goes 21 points, 8 rebounds, and just, you know, flexes and does his thing. And it's a great product. I'd get downtown and go see the Billikens.
Yeah, I'm glad they're doing well. Yeah. That's fantastic. It's a, you know, Mizzou, I think they lost, what, to Texas this week? Is that right?
Yeah, another reason why in the SEC you can't sleep any weekend.
At all.
Texas was actually favored in that game. I didn't expect Missouri to beat Texas. I didn't think Missouri would lose as poorly as they did. They didn't look good. But, you know, Texas did their thing at home and locked them up defensively. The SEC is a great conference, without question. And Missouri's going to find that out week after week after week. These are tough games. They got Ole Miss coming this Saturday. Ole Miss is good. So it'll be a fun week to see where it all goes.
You know, I know there are differences between pro football and pro baseball, but for many years, and I've talked about this before, I grew up in Cincinnati, and I always joked when I came here that I was used to bad ownership because the Bengals ownership was always, Paul Brown was the aging tight-fisted patriarch who wouldn't spend a dime to go get a high-dollar free agent. He always believed he would win through the draft. And as you can see in the 30-year history, the last 30 years of the Bengals, they've made it into the Super Bowl or the finals like three times, right? And they've lost every time because they wouldn't go do those things. And that frustrated me to no end. So I have to admit, I was a little disappointed to hear Bill DeWitt talking the other day about the fact that we can't buy our way out of this problem.
Well, I let me just translate kind of what they're talking about.
Okay,
they're
please,
not the best
please.
At messaging.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to defend the DeWitts necessarily. I'm just going to explain what they mean by that. They are trying to build what they think is a sustainable business. So what he's saying is, well, I'm not going to reach into my they're saying they don't have the ability to just lift themselves out of any sort of deficit when the TV revenue is not coming in. By the way, every team in Major League Baseball, aside from the Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, and a handful of others, are going through the exact same thing as the Cardinals are. So what he's saying is, at this very moment, what they're dealing with the revenue at a deficit and things are not working out, they don't have the ability to just go reach into their pocket and get themselves back. They want to actually make sure that the business model is sustainable. So that's what he's saying. It doesn't always come off very well. And I look, I'm one of the first people every single time to say, go buy the free agent. I mean, you know, go get the guy. But that doesn't always work either. So the Cardinals, you know, again, the Dodgers have like unlimited funds. So everybody will look at the Dodgers and say, that's not fair. The Dodgers, all they do is just spend, and then that helps them build a roster to win. Well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, if you're the Cardinals, what are you going to do? They are playing within the rules, so you can't do it. So the Cardinals are saying, we have to be smarter in how we do our business, and we have to grow stars now from the minor leagues. So they have reallocated the money that they would spend on a free agent, and they're throwing it into this minor league system, paying instructors, paying front office members. They're going to tear down the spring training clubhouse, the entire complex at the end of this spring training, and build a brand new one with pitching labs and hitting labs and the best of the best technology, so that players want to not only come here, but players who don't come to St. Louis grow into stars. And then they like creating their own star factory, so to speak, rather than just trying to spend money and plugging free agent positions when they can. So that's what they mean by that.
All right.
And that's how they're going to have to compete if they want to be the best. There's no way they can sit there and try to spend like the Mets or Dodgers. That ain't happening.
We still don't know anything about Arenado.
Arenado's probably, you know, a 50-50 at this point.
All
I mean,
right.
Each day that goes by, I think he's going to be with them. But that doesn't mean he wouldn't be traded by the deadline. I think that he could the trade deadline in the middle of the year.
Yeah, okay. All right. You're talking about later in the year.
Yeah,
okay.
later in the season. Like, they could keep him and they could trade him, and then there will be more teams that need a third baseman rather than like one or two now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You have to run. I know. I'm looking at the clock here.
6:45.
Sorry, buddy. Thank you.
Great to see you.
Yeah, you got 20 seconds. You better run.
Oh, I'm fine. No, Jack Buck told me
never
run to a microphone.
Run to a microphone. That's made that mistake once. Bye, everybody.
All right. See you. Tom Ackerman, good to get him in here. Yeah, I just had to ask that question. It's frustrating as a fan, though, to know that you're basically being told this is going to be a rebuilding season. And you want your team to go out there and be competitive, and maybe they will be. Tom said he thinks they will be competitive. But are we talking World Series caliber? Probably not.
Make the playoffs. That's
You got to put seats in the butts in the seats. You have to fill the seats, and to do that, you have to have fans who are confident that they're going to see a team that's going to be competitive. I would argue, even if it's one big dollar salary that you bring in, that's going to put people in the seats. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. Baseball is not a hard sport. I've heard this man say that mm-hmm. before. So there you go.
I didn't get my Savannah Bananas tickets yesterday. The emails got out. Went out yesterday. So all the people that were in the lottery found out yesterday if they got their Savannah Bananas tickets, because they're coming to Busch Stadium in April. And it's a fantastic show if you are a fan of baseball.
Well, I'm sorry that I didn't get in the lottery for that. What was I thinking
you
about?
You should have, because you
could have resold them.
But they did. They said, hey, if you do not have the tickets from us, don't buy them, because you're going to get ripped off. And there are a lot of scam sites out there. They were warning people against trying to get it on the secondary market.
Wow. They're going to sell out that stadium for that.
That's
games. Amazing. That's amazing. Well, good for them. All right.
I didn't get to go.
Coming up, we'll get to In Other News. We'll get Ethan in here in a couple of minutes. Next hour, former Senator Jim Talent on the first 3 days, which have been pretty amazing, what Trump has already, the change he has affected, whether you agree with all of it or not. It's pretty amazing how much they've gotten done in a very short period of time. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
it looks like Post Malone is partnering with Oreo to launch a limited edition Post Malone Oreo cookie featuring a unique swirled cream, a combination of salted caramel and shortbread flavors, and embossed with his stuff that's inspired by his musical career, like a guitar pick, butterfly, truck, So if you want some Post Malone cookies, they're going to be out soon.
That actually sounds good.
Can't wait.
Might be.
Are they tattooed?
They have, instead pierced? Of where it says Oreo, it just, a guitar pick or a truck.
See. Okay.
All right. Kinda.
Kinda tattooed, kinda. Sure. We'll go with it.
No thanks.
Taylor Swift has achieved her 15th number one on the Billboard Top Sales chart for Lover, live from Paris, surpassing Jay-Z as the most number ones in the chart's 33-year history. The album re-entered the chart following its reissue on vinyl and debut as a digital download, selling 202,000 copies in the U.S. during the tracking week. Of those sales, 161 were vinyl, marking the largest sale week for a live album on vinyl since 1991.
Wow, because I wondered.
Great.
Yeah, because I follow her career, and I didn't know she had a new song out, but it's not
she
new.
She doesn't.
It's not new.
It's
a live album.
Okay. 4 years old.
So now I can relax.
Thank goodness, Mark.
I was worried about that. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, a Taylor song? Put a new song out and didn't tell me?
She released 31 songs.
All the Swifties are out there buying Kansas City stuff right now. They're not worried about her new album.
I'm surprised that they they bought it on vinyl, though.
You
gotta love that.
I know our generation kind of brought the vinyl back, but now they're doing it again, I guess. Chris Brown has filed a $500 million lawsuit against Warner Brothers Discovery, Investigation Discovery, and others involved in the production of the documentary Chris Brown, A History of Violence. The documentary, released on October 27th, it explores allegations of violence and abuse against Brown, presenting a narrative his legal team claims is false and damaging to his reputation.
Wow. Lawsuits are flying?
Yeah, well, so were fists if you were with Chris
Brown.
Well,
this is true. It's true.
If you go to hockey games, you will not hear Chris Brown.
No?
Yeah, that's nice work there, Cardinal.
Or Diddy.
Well, or that's smart.
Kanye West.
Uh-huh.
Nor R. Kelly.
Hmm. Wow.
Just what about, what's the other one?
Are you afraid of inspiring violence or
it's
assault?
Just,
or
I don't want to give them any money.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris Brown hit Rihanna.
That he did. Stellantis is recalling over 63,000 Jeep Cherokees from model years 2017 to 2019 due to a transmission issue that can cause the vehicle to lose power or roll away while in park. The problem stems from a power transfer unit that may disengage the transmission. While more than 1,100 incidents have been reported over 7 years, no injuries or deaths have occurred. Jeep owners are advised to use the parking brake when parked, and Stellantis will be working on a solution, and affected owners will be notified.
Yeah. Speaking of Jeeps, I you know, those algorithms work on Facebook. I'm watching videos one day of people trying to back their boats down boat ramps,
yeah,
which is
great.
Pretty funny.
Oh,
and now great. My feed is filled with videos of people trying to. And I just saw one yesterday where a guy in a Jeep tried to back a boat that probably weighed more than the Jeep down into the water. And his wife forgot to she got in the boat and forgot to unhook it from the trailer. So she started it and hit reverse.
Whoa.
And it dragged the Jeep down into the water and it sank.
That's kinda cool.
So they so you know, her little duckies were floating away out the window.
All right, I am embarrassed to say that I am entertained by stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's like a conglomeration of people slipping on the ice.
Oh, in South City?
And it should be horrible. No, it's not South City. It's like ancient.
Alley?
It's like people going down their icy driveway to take out the trash. And I sadly think it's funny every time I see it.
Do you feel guilty watching it, Sue?
You can watch it through once, and then I'm like, all right, that's it. But then they send you more because you clicked on it.
Because that's what you're watching.
Yeah. Yep.
They know.
JetBlue Airlines has become the first airline to accept Venmo as a payment option for booking flights. Customers can now use Venmo to pay on JetBlue's website, with the feature set to roll out on the mobile app in coming months. JetBlue is emphasizing the airline's commitment to simplifying the booking process with digital technology, and this partnership aligns with Venmo's effort to make travel more convenient.
Wow.
You know, somebody brought up a good point about this yesterday, and it was, now you can actually give this. Let's say you wanted to surprise somebody with a trip or some plane ticket somewhere. You can now do that without showing up on your credit card statement and get a surprise actually executed, you know?
True. If you have it connected to your bank account, I guess, right?
Yes.
Right.
Or you can send it to your credit card and it'll just say Venmo pay.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. That's a good point. Don't think about that.
And one quick one, a Cincinnati man accidentally set his house on fire while attempting to clear snow from his steps with a blowtorch instead of the traditional methods like shoveling salt. The flame spread quickly, engulfing all three floors of the home before firefighters extinguished the blaze, and the fire caused an estimated $98,000 in damages, though no injuries were reported.
I have questions. If you're aiming it at the ground where the snow is, how did you catch your house on fire?
He sneezed.
Somebody, yeah, exactly. Or somebody said, what are you doing out there? And he turned around.
I think alcohol was involved. I'm just guessing.
Let's
there, probably.
Let's use the blowtorch.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll get to Lieutenant Governor David Wasinger pushing to end DEI for lawyers.
Get more at 971talk.com.